I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you.
Today we continue our series on togetherness, working together as a church. And we're looking at, last week we looked at together we are one body. And today we're looking at the theme, together we are connected. Together we are connected. If, again, you forget everything I say here today, as you walk through the doors, as the week passes by, just remember these two words, and they are stay connected.
Hallelujah.
Stay connected. Amen. Can we please tell the person, can you tell the person sitting next to you, stay connected? If they are not saying it, please give them a poke and tell them, stay connected. The verse that Babu read, or we heard from John 15, 1-7, is something that Jesus shared with his disciples shortly before his crucifixion. It was a word of caution, a word of encouragement, a word to help the disciples after he had been crucified. And he presents himself as the vine. He presents himself as the vine. He says, I am the true vine. So before we get into the passage and see what God has for us, can we please share a word of prayer? Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the power of your word. And thank you that we have the opportunity to hear from you today. We ask that you would speak to us and give us attentive ears to hear from you, and also a good and willing heart to receive your word and be able to live by them. This and many other blessings we ask through your Son, Jesus, our Lord. Amen. So the vine and the branches. Why would Jesus describe himself as the vine? Up until now, the reference to a vine was actually in the Old Testament, where Jesus, God referred to Israel as his vineyard through the prophet Jeremiah. And also through Hosea, he referred to them as his luxurious vineyard. So God was really keen about the people of Israel. But what happened was that they disappointed him. They disobeyed God. They went out of his ways. And so they had to face the judgment of God. And we passed through the Old Testament, and today, On this occasion, Jesus is referring himself as the true vine, meaning there is a counterfeit vine or there is a false vine. So in this context, I would clearly refer to Israel as the false vine. And he says that his father is the gardener or the vine dresser. And he goes on to say, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. Actually, the NIV or the English version doesn't really do justice to the word there. Because, so can we please have the next slide? It says, yes, most of the passages, or yes, the Bible says he takes away, he takes away. But then I would say he cuts off, and that's quite intense. That's quite sharp. Because Jesus, throughout his ministry, did not cut off anyone who came his path. The actual word that is there in the original text is that he lifts up. You have no business doing the Greek, but that's the root meaning of that word. Iro, to raise up, to take up, to lift. And so that's what Jesus does. Any branch that is not bearing fruit, what he does is that he lifts up that branch. We saw earlier on the vine tree, that's when they showed the children. And you realize that it is the branches are intertwined. Or you see that they are twirled around each other. They are interwoven. And so if, thank you very much, Victor. And so if a branch is down on the ground, it can't bear these beautiful fruits. It can't bring out this production. And so what he does is that he lifts up that branch so that it will bear fruit. And that's what he expects of us as a church, as one body, to lift up one another. I keep on saying the Christian journey is not a rosy one. People will stumble and fall. Sometimes they will miss their way and find themselves on the grass or on the floor. And it's our responsibility together as a family, as a church, to uplift one another. And so he lifts up every branch that does not bear fruit. And while every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. He prunes. And that's where there is some bits of cutting. Because he has to take away the dead and the weeds that are preventing the branch from yielding fruits. And so he prunes it. And if any of you does gardening, maybe you plant a flower or some tomato, how many of you are gardeners or you like planting? Oh, thank you, Lionel. So you have an idea of pruning. You trim, but you just don't go on cutting off branches to trim or to prune the plant. What you do is that you carefully lift that weed that is disturbing the growth of the plant, and then you cut it off. And that's what Jesus does. And so he prunes us in love. He prunes us with care. He prunes us so that we'll yield, we'll look beautiful. He prunes us so that we'll yield more fruit. So can we please have the next slide? And what is this fruit? Wendy already told the children, if you were listening. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and it says, against such there is no law. Against such there is no law. If you are loving, if you are caring, if you are joyous, if you are gentle, the laws in the Ten Commandments, these are a fulfillment of those. I won't steal what belongs to my neighbor if I am loving or if I have a good heart. I won't covet what belongs to somebody else. Well, what are the Ten Commandments again? I won't mention the Lord's name in vain. See, it's against these. Once you are bearing the fruits of the Spirit, it's like you are naturally living out the law. You are naturally living out to please and glorify God. And the pruning sometimes, once you cut something off, you see a mark, don't you? And it's like that in our Christian journeys, in our walk with the Lord. There are times when we'll feel sad. There are times when we'll feel lonely. There are times when we'll have all sort of wishes, our prayers answered. And maybe the Lord is just saying, not now. Wait for the right time. This is the time to cut off, you know, all those things that are preventing your growth, for that time to come when you will beautifully and wonderfully shine. But sometimes we are too impatient when He's pruning us. We are too impatient when He's shaping us. And sometimes we are even reluctant when He's trimming us. You ask, how does God prune us? How does He do this? And He says in the verse 3, He says, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. He was referring to His disciples. God prunes us through His words, through the Bible. Back then, they didn't have this put together. But that's how He prunes His children today. But unfortunately for most of us, including myself, these days we hardly go to the Word of God. We hardly spend time reading, even understanding, studying God's Word. And so we are going through life, you know, being bumped here and there. There are days of joy, days of tears, days, things like that. But we are not being pruned. He says in Hebrews 4:12, God's word is alive and sharper than the two-edged sword. His word is to shape us. His word is to cut off every negativity, everything that does not please Him. But because we are not reading His word, because we are not dwelling in His word, because we are not studying His word, it's like we just go in with a flow. We just live in as the day goes by. In 2 Timothy 3:6, it says, all scripture is inspired by God. And it's not just for the teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Today, it's difficult, even amongst us as a church, for somebody to look at someone and say, oh, you're not doing this right. Could it be done this way? I can't correct my fellow Christian sister because it's her life and what she thinks is best for her or what pleases her or what, you know, it's like, but that's not what God's word is for. We come to church, we sit, and He says here to the disciple, you are already clean. And you might think that He's being biased. Why is He saying to the disciples they are already clean? Because anytime Jesus called them aside to rebuke them, anytime they didn't do something right and they went back to Jesus and said, how should we go about this? How is it that you have done this and we did this and it didn't work? Anytime He thought them, and they spent countless hours, days under His feet, Him teaching them. And we are missing that in our Christian walk today. Because we all know our rights, don't you? Or even if you don't, you just have to go gov.co.uk and search for whatever you're looking for, and it's there. But He wants us to stay connected to Him in His word. In His word. I always say there is nothing new under the sun. All that is revolving around us, it's in the word of God. But we're not taking the time. We are not even desiring. When somebody tells you word for word what's in scripture or what God requires from us today, we'll think, oh, that's harsh. But yes, that's what the word is for, to reprove, to correct, to straighten up. I'm afraid that a day and a time will come where this word will be so watered down. Because now we have all sorts of translations to fit people's desires, to fit people's aspirations, to fit people's mindset, mentality, modernity. But for us to be able to stay connected, we have to go to the original. I mean, the undiluted, unsaturated, on whatever word of God. That is what we have to do. And why? Why would God prune us? That's the question we're asking. Well, what's the essence? And I think I've already said, it says God prunes us so that we will bear much fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, the joy, the love, most of us have them already. We are kind, we are nice, we have joy, we have peace. But for us to yield more fruit, the verse says we yield fruit. It goes on to say you yield more fruit. In the verse 5, it says, and then you yield much fruit. So it's like that's in abundance. You start from one, you get two, and you get five. So if, let's say you started your Christian journey about 10 years ago, and you are still bearing that one, hanging on to that one, and not had more or much, then we have to sit up. He's not going to cut you off, but we have to sit up. You see, if God prunes us so that we'll remain in Him, we'll abide in Him, He prunes us in order to assure that we are truly, assure us, not Him. For Him, He knows His own. God knows His own, church. He knows His own. We can be all dressed up, all looking good, all singing, dancing, all of that. But He knows His own. And He says, my sheep knows my voice. And where is the voice coming from? His word. He knows His own. And He says that God prunes us to answer more of our prayers. And we'll see that in the verse 7. And in the verse 8, He prunes us so that we will glorify Him. Isn't it beautiful to know that He cares about us so much? He loves us that much to want to cut off, trim, shaping all that does not glorify Him. And going down to the verse, it says, remain in me. Remain in me. And that's what all this noise is about. Remain in me. Stay connected to me. Abide in me. Don't come and taste and go. Don't come and just dip in your hand. No, remain in me. Have a relationship with me. Desire that oneness with the Lord. That's what He's looking forward to. A relationship. To call you His own. To be able to present you as a beautiful bride before His Father. Remain in me. Have your home in me. Not just the Sunday worship. No. No. Imagine when you've not been in connect, and I have had that personal experience, because coming back, being here for a while, I've lost contact with some of my friends. And sometimes when you start talking to them, it's like you are lost. You've not had that connection for a while. You sort of mess up what to say, what not to say, you know, things like that, because you actually don't really know this person at this point of their life. And it's the same with our relationship with God. If our coming in is just on a Sunday, just show up, because if I don't show up, they might call me or search and then find, no, that's not it. But to be a daily walk with Him. a step, minute by minute, second by second. He's concerned in every stage, every step of our lives. Remain in me, he says. And I see that as a request, as a plea, because he goes on to, from the fourth verse to the eighth verse, he goes on, remain in me. And as Wendy rightly illustrated, when a branch is cut off, when a branch doesn't remain in the vine, what does it? It just dries off. It doesn't bear any fruit. Most of you who love flowers, when somebody presents a flower as a gift to you and you put it in water, irrespective of all the chemicals they give you to preserve them, it only preserves them for a while. After a while, they start to wither and they become frail and they die. And what do? Do you still keep them in your living rooms? No, you take them up and go and throw them away. Remain in me, he says, because if you don't, you'll just die. It will not necessarily be a physical death where we have to attend your funeral, but you'll be a living dead person. And on the last day when he said, go before him and say, God, I was coming to church. I was part of this. I gave to this person. I gave to support this mission. He doesn't know you. He doesn't know you. He's got no relationship with you. He's got no relationship with you. And he says that without me, you can do nothing. You can do nothing. And it's true. Without the vine, what can we do? You can do nothing that is of heavenly value. Let me be specific. Yes, without him, you can go about your daily duties, your job, be a wife, a mother, a loving partner, you know, all the nice things. But you cannot do anything that will glorify him. You cannot do anything that will be of heavenly value. Is that why we are here today? In the verse 6, yes, these branches, when they die, they are just thrown in fire. They are just thrown in fire. Back then, I believe that it was used probably as firewood, yes, to cook and do all. Now we have the gas, and so we wouldn't need it. But that's what it was used for. If you are not yielding fruit, if the vine doesn't yield fruit, if the vine, they just cut you off and boom, into the fire. One theologian, John Trapp, says this. He says, better to be pruned to grow than cut up to be burned. Better to, because you are going through life anyway, church. Whether you like it or not, we are in this world. We are living. So definitely there will be ups and downs. Definitely things. So why not remain in him and be pruned? Than rather to live your own life according to your own desires, your own perceptions, societal rules, laws, regulations. Now, most of us are better pleasing the society. We are pleasing the laws of the land. We are pleasing than God's word. Remain in me. It says, remain in me, it says. So the question is, how do we remain in him then? So can we please have the next slide? How? What happens? How do we remain in him? And Wendy asks the children. And again, that's what he says in the verse 7. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. Amen. Beloved, God is not a lie. Yes, sometimes we won't have the exact answers that we want to our prayers. Sometimes you'll be saying yes, sometimes he says no, sometimes he says wait. Wait, I'm just having my way in you. Wait, the time hasn't come yet. But he answers every prayer of his child. He does. And he says, if you remain in me and my words in you, again, back to the good old word. His word. His word. His word. My prayer is that as a church, we will delight in his word. We will desire, I mean crave. And this was how the church was in the early days. And even those who were following Jesus, they spent days with him, listening to just him teaching them. Multitudes were following him. But we'll be able to just sit comfortably, not just for 20 minutes. Because sometimes when you are looking at people's faces, you just want to rush through the word and finish hurriedly so that everybody will be nice to you after the service. But I look forward to a day where we can just relax for an hour, two, a day or more, just listening, feasting on God's word. Just craving for more of that. Because we know it is the only way that we can remain in him. So church, let's stay connected. Not to any source, but the true source, the true vine, which is Jesus Christ. Let's allow him to have his way in our lives. Let's give him the room to prune us, to shape us, to trim us, so that our lives will reflect his glory, so that we can please him, so that when that day comes, whether today, tomorrow, whenever, we can boldly stand before him and say, here I am, Lord. And he would open his arms and welcome you in. We're going to sing Jesus at the center of it all. As we sing that song, just do for a minute or two a personal reflection. Is he really at the center of your life? Is he really in control of that life of yours? Or are you just going with a status quo? You just going with the flow? You just living by the day? Does he really have access to you?